Okay, Shannon, so let's get this going here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do, how old you are, how tall, anything you want to tell us at all that kind of gives us a little bit of insight into who you are and what you do.
Okay, well, I'm a 33-year-old social worker, and I live in downtown Boston, Massachusetts, which I love, and I'm 5'5 tall.
Okay. And when did you find the Leanness Lifestyle program?
I found Leanness Lifestyle in 2003. I saw Kathy Gonzalez, who was in the Success Gallery, on another fitness site, and just started learning about the program through her. I was very inspired by her transformation and decided to give it a shot.
When would you say that was again?
That was in June of 2003, I think.
June of 2003.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about your history, because we're going to be seeing your pictures on the Success Gallery, and so some people are going to kind of want to know, you know, where did she really come from? Has she really struggled? Has she really had any of the same issues, you know, that I have and so forth? So what's your history been like with weight, fitness, and the whole transformation journey?
Well, I've really gone through a transformation. When I was younger, you know, I've always been kind of the pudgy girl. I went to Weight Watchers when I was 10. I was very sedentary. I smoked very heavily throughout my teen years and early adulthood. And I've started to become a little more active, but I never really achieved the weight loss goals. I would, you know, I'd eat right, but I wouldn't exercise, or I'd exercise, I wouldn't eat right. So I was always trying to lose about 20 pounds. And never really thought that it was going to be possible for me, but it was.
Any kids, or did you say?
No children.
Okay. And now you said you went to Weight Watchers when you were 10?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have quite a bit of experience with other members who have gone to different programs, and to be honest, you know, the biggest one that kids have gone to who are, when people are about our age now, in their 30s and 40s and so forth, is Weight Watchers.
Mm-hmm.
That was obviously prompted, to, if I'm going to guess, by someone other than you. True?
Yes, that's true.
So how did that make you feel, and what prompted that?
Well, you know, I think my family has always been, I'm from a family of perfectionists, and I had a very beautiful, slender mother, and I think she thought that, you know, my extra weight would maybe prevent me from, you know, popularity or total happiness, and I think I was unhappy with myself, and so she responded to that as well.
Now, can you think back to those early days when you were just a kid as to what was most likely the cause? I mean,
well,
obviously you were overeating, or you were a little bit too sedentary, but what was most of it? Was it emotionally driven, and anything there you want to talk about?
I think when I was about 8, I moved, which was very difficult. I also, in my early childhood, had been diagnosed with a seizure disorder and was put on Tegretol, which is known to make people sluggish and promote weight gain. And I definitely noticed, you know, a gain in weight around that time.
Okay.
And also, you know, I think I began binge eating probably around the time I was 8 or so.
Hmm.
You know, I would come home from school and have a bad day. I was pretty unpopular at the time. And, you know, I'd eat to make myself feel better.
It's amazing what how much pressure there can be at that young age.
Definitely.
Well, regardless of the programs you followed, by the way, what kind of programs did you use, did you say?
Well, I did Weight Watchers many times.
Okay.
I'd start, I'd lose 5 pounds, and then I'd taper off. I remember the most unsuccessful was the whole fat-free Stop the Insanity Susan Powder thing.
Oh, yeah.
I think I did that in the during college and shortly after, and I think I gained about 15 pounds because I thought I could eat all the bagels and Twizzlers that I wanted to because I had no fat.
That's kind of the dream diet for most women.
Yeah, I know, right? I was like, oh, fat-free brownies.
Well, the carboholics.
Exactly.
Carboholic lovers.
And all my trigger foods all the time.
You bet.
So that was not good. And I also had, you know, I had a couple of times when I would lose a lot of weight, I had my gallbladder removed. and I lost a ton of weight after that, very unhealthily. I also had an ulcer at one point and lost a ton of weight around that time, very unhealthily. So I would have to say this is the only time that I've ever lost weight in a healthy way.
You know, looking at the pictures, and, you know, we're seeing the befores, and we say, yeah, you know, she was heavy and whatnot, and we see the afters, though, and we're like, you know, wow, of course, but what is your weight normally? What have you been hanging out at? You're 33 now, you know, from your 20s or whatever, you know, what do you normally hang around at?
Now or before?
Before.
Before, I was always in the 140s
to 150s.
140s to 150s.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think my highest weight was almost 160.
Okay.
About 158.
Okay. Well, you did Weight Watchers several times. You did Susan Powder. Did you do anything, any of the really, really dumb ones?
Like the grapefruit all the time diet?
I mean, whatever.
Yes, I've tried everything.
Really? Okay.
The cigarettes and coffee and... You know, unfortunately, I was never able to sustain that for more than a couple of days.
Okay. Well, the weight did creep back on, or you kind of went up and down and up and down.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were on this board, and you saw that one of our other members had some success.
Mm-hmm.
And when you first saw it or first heard about it, how much time would you say went by between... when you first heard about it or this other member first mentioned it and you finally said, I got to let me just give that thing a try. I don't know.
I think it took me a couple of weeks. I asked Kathy a lot of questions, and I think the thing that was so amazing to me was that her body and her before shot, she's 5'5", just like me, mm-hmm. and her body looked like my body.
Okay.
And her after picture looked like a dream body for me. It's something that I... never, you know, normally you see before and after shots, and it's just a slightly smaller version of the same kind of pudgy body.
Right.
And this was a transformation, and I was stunned. And, you know, she was very encouraging, and I just decided to give it a shot.
Well, that's great. Well, Kathy is still a member, and I know she's going to be listening to this when it's finally put up on the website and stuff later. So, Kathy, we know you're listening. Isn't it great to be such an inspiration to people?
She is my biggest inspiration.
So what did you weigh when you first found the Leanest Lifestyle?
I weighed around, I think I first logged in the high 140s, but I think I started around 150.
Okay. And what did you weigh in the after pictures that we see?
I weighed right around 119.
119. Now, when was the last time you weighed 119?
The day of the after pictures.
No. When was before you took the after pictures?
Oh, okay.
When was the last time you weighed 119?
Before then was, oh gosh. I mean, I must have been 6th grade, 7th grade.
Oh, wow. Okay, mm-hmm. So grammar school.
Yes.
Now, the way you said, you know, I said, when was the last time you weighed 119? You said the after pictures. Now, we can all assume you've porked right up, so why don't you just tell us what you've porked right up to?
I'm weighing around 125 right now.
Okay. So pretty darn good.
Up and down. You know, maintenance is definitely challenging, but I'm learning my way.
Up and down, the range being what normally?
I would say that since boot camp one, I've gone between about 123 and about 128.
Okay. And in your past, what have you gotten down to, say, with Weight Watchers or some other program?
I think when I was ill and had no muscle tone whatsoever, I probably got down to the low 20s. But
how about healthfully?
You know, unhealthfully and totally saggy, fatty.
Right. No, I mean, how about healthfully? What would you have gotten down to in the past?
Healthfully, I would say probably around 130, 135.
And how long would that have lasted?
Oh, gosh. You know, maybe a month or so.
And then you'd be 135 and then 138 and then 140.
It'd start creeping up. You know, I would begin to eat the triggers again. And I would slip a little bit. I'd, you know, stop exercising as much. I think I just never believed that I could go all the way with it.
What's the longest you stayed below 135 prior to my program?
In a helpful way?
Yes.
Very, very briefly. You know, I would say maybe at the very most 6 months.
Okay. And right now, you're how far past boot camp one?
Let's see. That was in, I guess I ended up in May?
Yes, I think so. Okay. Yes.
So, and, you know, and even before then, I had once I started the leanest lifestyle in 2003, I lost down to about 130 and maintained that until 2005, between about 128 and about 132 or so.
Well, I just think go ahead.
So my first real successful loss and maintenance came with the leanest lifestyle.
Well, one of the things I just kind of want to quickly point out is it's very common and to kind of beat ourselves up a little bit for going up a smidge, up a tick, I would say, mm-hmm. from our all-time low.
Mm-hmm.
It's like kind of like someone feeling a little bit sad when they enter a bodybuilding show at whatever,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, in the month after, they are not in bodybuilding condition.
Right.
You know, you're not supposed to be. You know, the thing I want to kind of point out is, that's why I asked you all these questions about what have you done in the past? How long have you mm-hmm. held it in the past? Because for you to go to 119 and to hold 123 to 128, and it's now been a few months,
mm-hmm.
and you've been well under 130, and you're hovering in that 125 range, I mean, you're 10 to 15 pounds below where your other low would have been that you would have held for a month.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think you need to give yourself more credit. I want to give you credit for it because that's really huge. And I know we don't have it as a tendency. We don't give ourselves enough credit for those kinds of things. We see the 119, and here's what I've always said. When you're in the condition that you are at your ultimate low, mm-hmm. everything above that feels fat.
That's true.
So the six-pound hovering at 125, you can many times kind of, I don't know, in a false kind of way, feel like you're failing.
Mm-hmm.
When in fact, it's nothing but success, and it's just mm-hmm. all part, to be honest, of the overall journey, which for you isn't quite over, you know,
right.
because you're continuing on, and you've got, you know, other things, and we'll talk about those things in a minute here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we talked about kind of what's going on with your weight now, what your low was. Do you mm-hmm. know how your body fat changed at all?
Definitely. It was over 30%, I think, when I started leanness lifestyle, and it got down to about 14%, 14-15%.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, anything in the teens for a woman is awesome, and anything mm-hmm. below 15% is just incredible. Just mm-hmm. really start to narrow the field when you dip into that percentage. And near after photos, it's absolutely believable, by the way, too. So now, as you went through this process, and I know it's a journey, and it's a continuing journey,
mm-hmm.
but what was harder than you thought as you think back on things, and what was maybe easier than you thought?
I think that just the consistency, just the day in and day out, is hard. You know, when you're getting down to those last few pounds, I mean, truly every bite of food that you put in your mouth and every step you take counts. So I think just maintaining that consistency was challenging. What was easier was upping my exercise minutes. I remember seeing other members talk about doing 600, 700 minutes a week, and I was thinking, I can barely do 250. You know, this is when I started.
Right.
And, you know, I got up to, at the end, I think I might have had a 900-minute week. You know, certainly 600 started feeling like nothing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was, to me, just incredible because, you know, like I said, I was always very awkward, unathletic, couch potato, gym phobic.
Mm.
I joined a gym while I was in boot camp. I learned how to use weights in the gym and rather than just working out at home. So I think those things were easier than I anticipated.
That's great. Yeah, that's a huge, huge change.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask you, too. Now, you've maintained on average within 6 pounds of your all-time low since sixth grade, and I'm going to mm-hmm. bet that your exercise minutes have backed off significantly. If not, you correct me, but what are they averaging now?
I'd say, you know, still fairly high. I would say between, you know, anywhere between 400 and maybe 550 a week.
Okay. And when you were in True Action, they were between 600 and 900?
Near the end. Started out kind of 500. Worked my way up.
Right.
The last few weeks were very high, yes.
Okay. The only thing the only point I'm trying to point out there is that there is a backing off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it also ties in with the slight weight gain that we see. Because not only is there a backing off on exercise, there's also a backing off on the diligence with watching the nutritional values of our foods and, you know, making, like you said, making sure near the end that, you know, every bite is on.
Yeah.
Every bite counts. And now it just doesn't have to be that way, and it isn't that way. And in a lot of ways, that's the bliss of maintenance. So it's just, you know, a lot of times, and I just want to make that point because some people believe that every ounce of energy it took you in your last weeks of action is what it's going to take to hold it.
No.
That's not true.
No, it's not. Those last couple of weeks, I haven't done any of that, or not anything like that since. You know, the last couple of weeks were 1,000 calories a day, you know, high protein, very low fat, lower carbs, you know, just vegetables and protein, you know, basically. And now, you know, I'm eating much more, I mean, still the same basic outline, but certainly more calories and a little more variety.
Right. Well, some people are going to listen to this and say, well, she doesn't have any kids, so she's got a cush life, and anybody that doesn't have kids and has the cush life she has ought to be able to do this. But she doesn't understand, and no one else will, because they don't understand what my time constraints and my life and everything. So I want to ask you, Shannon, did you have any stumbling blocks at all, or was life just a bed of roses for you during this entire transformation?
Oh, I absolutely did. I had major job stress. I work a very high-stress job with a lot of people that I supervise, work long hours. I had a death in the family. I had definitely stress with my partner around the amount of time the boot camp was taking. You know, the day-to-day life stuff goes on.
Right.
And, you know, certainly have some more time, maybe not having kids. But, you know, like I said, I'm pretty much busy from morning till night like everyone. So.
Right. Tell us what a typical day during action was like with respect to food.
Okay. My typical action day is six meals, usually between about 1,000 and 1,300 calories. Veggies with every meal, cut down a little bit on the carbs, you know, maybe a half a cup of oatmeal, chicken, fish, egg whites, fruit. Very clean eating for me because, you know, I do tend to... I'm kind of a tough loser, so I have to eat pretty clean to lose.
You said vegetables at every meal. Breakfast?
I try. I'll throw in some, you know, onions or peppers or mushrooms with my egg whites.
Now, with regard to, I heard you say a couple of times you've had, you know, vegetables and protein. What did you do to get your vegetables in, or do you just love them?
You know, I have a lot of little tricks. Every Sunday and Thursday, I make my meals for the next few days. So I chop up red peppers and broccoli and cauliflower and whatever I, you know, strikes my fancy, and put it all in Tupperware. And then for each meal, I would just throw whatever tasted good or whatever I thought would taste good with my protein. And I also usually make a couple of entrees, which each make about six meals apiece. So, you know, if you just do all the chopping at once and cleaning, then it really, that really, really helps.
When you say you had vegetables with your protein, do you mean like animal protein or a protein drink or what?
Usually animal. I would have chicken, fish, egg whites. I eat lots of tuna, lots of salmon. I don't eat pork or red meat, so none of those things. Occasionally I'd have a protein shake and occasionally I'd have a bar.
Okay. With regard to exercise, how did you split up your cardio and weight training?
When I was in action, I did the LL Awesome periodization workout, and
okay.
So I would do a three-day split Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings, and then I did cardio every evening and both weekend days.
So you did cardio every evening.
Well, you 7 days maybe a week. I might skip one.
Okay. So about 6 days a week in the evening.
Typically, yes. And you did, I found that it was easier to split it up.
And then you did weights Monday, Wednesday, Friday?
Uh-huh.
In the morning?
Yes.
Okay. So that's how you split it up. Okay. Mm-hmm. What about your favorite foods? Did you give them up entirely, or did you have a splurge once in a while, once a week? What'd you do?
I would have a splurge at the very, very end, last 2 weeks or so. I was pretty strict.
Right.
But until then, I would typically go out to dinner one night a week. Wouldn't splurge like crazy, would try to stay away from the triggers. But I'd have a glass of wine and, maybe a veggie burger or something like that, some sushi.
For you, what's the triggers?
Oh, definitely chocolate and bread. Anything sugary, really, but mainly chocolatey, browny, cakey kinds of things, and bread. And it's a struggle still to stay away.
Well, it will be for life, but the longer you do it, the easier it does get. And so you're right. It's always going to be, it's always the battle. The outwit, outplay, outsmart factors come in. Because the body would just as soon have you driving hard toward all the fattening foods it can, because it thinks you're going to die if you don't fatten up.
Exactly.
What do you do when you feel the pull toward unhealthy eating to stay focused? Ugh. Any diversions that you can share with some others?
I go to Lena's Lifestyle and log what I'm eating, and I also just think about the fact that, it takes me about a day to gain 2 pounds and about a month to lose it.
Yes.
So, I know how much... I gain weight very easily, and I lose weight very slowly, and I know how much work goes into each and every quarter pound, so for me, that's what keeps me, at least most of the time, on the straight and narrow.
Do you have moments when you're just completely irrational about it, though?
Sure. They're fewer and farther between, though, now. I went on vacation a couple weeks ago. I'm still kind of trying to get back down from that. You fall back into that. I'm with my family. This is how I've dealt with that before. This is how I, relate with them. Everyone's saying, you're so skinny, you're too skinny. So there's a lot of outside forces that are constantly, kind of working against living a healthy lifestyle. But I just know that I'm so much happier when I'm, following the leanest lifestyle.
Yeah, that's absolutely, absolutely true. I can't speak for your happiness, but I just mean... It just affects so many things in a positive way.
It just gives me so much peace of mind. I think I always felt so out of control, and I'm not out of control anymore. I feel like I know how to, I think you said that, the one thing that you do have control over is how much body fat you carry.
That's right.
And, I never believed that before, but I think the tools, the coaching, all those things kind of work together to make me realize that really I have the power where this is concerned.
Are you considering anything in the future that you might not have considered had you not been as successful? Anything career-wise, family-wise, personal-wise, competition-wise? I really don't have any idea, Shannon. We haven't really talked that much about it. Anything you're considering?
I'm starting to run races, and which never in a million years would I dream that I could even do a 5K. So I think eventually I really want to run the Boston Marathon. Being a Boston girl, it would just be really a pinnacle for me. And I even have thought about getting certified to teach spinning or teach other classes, which, again, being always afraid of the gym in my past, that's a huge step for me.
Always being the pudgy girl afraid of the gym to teaching classes.
Yes, I would start with spinning because I don't think I can fall off the bike. I've definitely thought about getting certified or becoming a personal trainer, and I will probably do those things in the next few years.
Has anything else in your life changed other than the physical that, anyone with two eyes can see?
I just think I'm so much more confident and at peace with myself. I know that I can do something now that if I put my mind to it, something that felt insurmountable, impossible, like a lifelong desire that was never fulfilled. I can do those things now.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have a lot more confidence in myself and my abilities.
Did you find you had anything creeping up, rearing its ugly head, that almost tripped you up in from the aspect of, with a lot of people, when they've been going after a particular goal for so long, or at least they've had it in the back of their mind,
mm-hmm.
when they get very close to it, they've put so many things off, always in lieu of when I get to this
mm-hmm.
whatever, then I'll, when I get there, then I'll do this, or then I'll do that, or then I'll, you know, go for the job promotion, or then I'll, whatever, move on with my life. Were there any things that crept in that said, you don't deserve this, don't do this, you're really putting your, sticking your neck out there if you accomplish this? Anything that was a sabotaging thought as you got close, or was it more like, oh no, I'm so close, I can't stop, there's nothing in my way, let's do it?
I think I was, internally, I was very motivated. I think externally, there were some barriers in my way. People were, you're obsessed, you're this, you're that. But frankly, to get to 119 pounds on my all-lifetime pudgy body, you pretty much have to be
mm-hmm.
obsessed for a while you're in action and while you're, while you are, and I went, fairly quickly through the two boot camps to this weight. So, so I think most of the things standing in my way were external, and I just had to tune them out as best I could deal with them as best I could, and just listen to that internal voice saying, you have to do it.
Yeah, because you did boot camp one and boot camp two, didn't you?
Yeah.
And we had about we did boot camp one, and then we had about, what, a four-week break?
5 weeks.
5 week break, and then we did boot camp two.
Oh, actually, it was, five, four, and five, I think, yes.
Right, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, obviously, you were successful. So one of the things I just want to kind of point out, which is obvious to me and you, but isn't so obvious mm-hmm. to maybe someone listening to this, is I'm in Dixon, Illinois. You're in
mm-hmm.
Boston.
Right.
How many times did I meet you in person during your loss to hold your hand?
Zero.
So have I ever met you yet?
No, I wish. Maybe someday.
That's right. So how is it, since I didn't come to your home and cook your food, and I didn't carry you like a queen to the gym on my shoulders, that you were able to be so successful without ever meeting me? Is the internet and the tools, and how does this all work that
mm-hmm.
I don't meet you, yet you use my stuff and then a lot of work on your own, a lot,
mm-hmm.
and you're successful? How does that happen?
Well, I think that this program is so well-rounded. I'm sitting here on my bed, and it's pretty funny. On my nightstand is my copy of The Leanest Lifestyle. I still pick it up and read it all the time. To me, it's my textbook. This is the last diet book I ever bought.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, I think I had a library of about 500.
Mm-hmm.
I bought every, they all said the same thing, basically. But none of them really gave me the tools. So I think the book, in combination with the online tools, which to me, it took the mystery out of how many calories do I eat, how much do I work out. It just took all that mystery out of it. It never really made sense to me until I completed a leg on the Lean account and, ended up at zero, and I lost exactly the amount of weight that it said I was going to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the first week that happened, it was just astonishing to me,
mm-hmm.
and I realized this is math and science.
Mm-hmm.
This is not mysterious, really.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, everyone's body is a little bit different, but in general, the tools work. And so for me, that all those things together, the support online, the personal messaging with you when things got tough. All of those things, I think, work together and, to help me succeed.
You're right. In so many ways, this is science in motion.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about it. I'd say the most mysterious part of it comes in when we're looking at the emotional issues, the trigger
mm-hmm.
issues, and the addiction issues.
Yep.
And everyone has all of those to a certain degrees. It's just varying levels of each. And I would say as a coach, those are probably the parts that remain the most mysterious, at least in trying to figure it out from person to person. But you're right. For the most part, it's mathematics. However, you know, no great skyscraper was ever built because some engineering formula was put down on paper. It took a tremendous amount of work and effort and action and energy expended by a number of people to build that skyscraper. And it's the same thing when you're building a great physique like you have. It's one thing to put numbers down on paper and say, oh, it's, you know, 1,000 to 1,300 calories and my ratios are this and this kind of vegetables and protein. It's quite another to, as you said very, very early on in this interview, do it consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very common to do what? Two steps forward, three steps back.
Exactly.
Even if you know the numbers, right?
Pardon me?
Even if you know the numbers.
Exactly. No, definitely. You know, you think you can cheat the system. You think you can cheat the numbers, and you know, your desire for your old life at times can overcome your need to change. But obviously, it is possible, though.
You betcha. Now, let me ask you this. What advice, then, this will be the last question I have for you. What advice would you give to the person who is beginning their second or 15th attempt or 50th attempt at weight loss, and they are in the same shoes you were when you were 150 pounds?
Well, first of all, you can do this. It is possible. And, you know, there's a lot of naysayers out there. There's a lot of people who, you know, they may look at the calories or the exercise minutes and say, oh, you know, that's unhealthy. Well, no, actually being sedentary is unhealthy. Eating too much is unhealthy. Eating more than your body needs is unhealthy.
Carrying a high body fat is unhealthy.
Exactly.
Having high cholesterol and high blood pressure and cardiovascular disease.
Right, being sedentary. I mean, you know, people are like, oh, you work out 2 hours a day? Well, yeah, you sit on your rump in front of the TV for 4 hours a day. That's a lot more unhealthy.
You bet.
So I think, you know, eat your veggies, drink your water, get your cardio in, use the Muscle Professor, use the tools. But this program works. Truly, you can do it. Well, and that's what I would tell people. Just do it. Worth it.
Well, Shannon, you've got a great story, and it's a great message to others. And it's always a lot of fun from my perspective to see someone take it from where you were to where you are, and you know, to reach that pinnacle. And I know it's not easy, and I know what you had to do to get there. But like you said, it can happen. It can be done. Mm-hmm. And it's always a journey, and you're still in the journey, just like I am.
Yeah.
But it can be done, and you did it. You're living proof, and I want to thank you for taking time out of your day to do this interview with me, and it's going to help and inspire a lot of people. I know it.
Well, thank you so much, David.
You bet. Thank you for listening. For more information about Club Lifestyle or to take a free 30-day test drive as a member, just visit www.leannesslifestyle.com. That's www.leannesslifestyle.com. Make sure you check out the many other success stories we have available through our podcasting and success gallery area of our website.